Welcome to Songs of Praise from 3ABN Australia Radio.
whosoever believes, whoever believes, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved this
very room, there's quite enough joy for all the world. And there's quite enough hope and quite enough power to chase away any gloom. For Jesus, Lord Jesus, is in this very
for things that could not satisfy.
This is Songs of Praise, brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio.
Thank you. Why should I sing of lesser things and things that pass away, when I've a friend like Jesus now to sing about each day? I have no song to sing but that of Christ my King. Fills the heavens above. Should I not join their chorus sweet and praise the Lord I love? I have no song to sing but that of Christ my King.
Satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransom will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. And tested, and like the prophet, my pillow a stone. And though I find here no permanent dwelling,
mansion my own. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop, in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will nevermore wander, but walk the streets that are pure as gold. Me poor or deserted or lonely, I'm not discouraged, I'm heaven bound. I'm just a pilgrim in search of a city. I want a mansion, a harp and a crown.
Listening to Songs of Praise.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I'll stand. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. Sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. Death. This is the power of Christ. from life's first cry to final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man could ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Priceless gift to him. The bitter mark of sin will never fade away,
but I can come before him unashamed. I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand at me. He's
are the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. So what can separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. Death could not hold you. The veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. The heavens are roaring the praise of your glory. For you are again. You have no rival, you have no equal, now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name. Name it is, what a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. Beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
All the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast
the
Listening to 3ABN Australia Radio's Songs of Praise.
Oh, I was once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine.
And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. Humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown. When the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine.
And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace. Oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. For there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine.
And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine.
Yes, it's mine.
With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven. Nevermore to
praises, and I'll reign with you throughout eternity, and throughout eternity I'll sing your praises, and I'll reign with you throughout eternity.
You've been listening to Songs of Praise, a production of 3ABN Australia Radio.
Welcome to the book reading program of 3ABN Australia Radio. Does your faith need a boost? Do you think that miracles only happened in Bible times? Think again. Compiled by Remnant Publications, the book Get Ready for a Miracle recounts true stories that prove that when we step out in faith, God displays His power in undeniable ways. Here is our reader, Koval Smith.
This story is entitled God's Long Range Plan. Revelation 14 verse 12 says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." When I was a young engineer, a few years out of college, my wife and I decided to get out of the older home we were living in and build our first home. The move raised our household expenses significantly, but I was making pretty good money in an automotive plant as a supervisor of skilled tradesmen. One day at work, a friend and fellow supervisor who worked on second shift informed me of a startling conversation he had overheard. My boss had made a bet with another manager that he could get rid of me. My manager had actually bragged about all the minorities he had gotten rid of. He named one man who was East Indian and another who was Arabic. Then he said he would get rid of me as well. "I couldn't believe it," my friend told me. "You need to watch your back." As you might imagine, working for a boss like mine wasn't a pleasant experience anyway. So I had been praying that the Lord would put me in a better place. I prayed that prayer every single day for an entire year. Although I normally feel as if I can hear God responding to me, in this case I heard absolutely nothing. All I could do was tell myself, "Well, He must want me to wait." But I was going on my second year of these prayers, and I was starting to get discouraged. Not long after this, I received an award for my contributions as a young professional. My achievement was written up in our company paper. The article also mentioned that I was part of a special leadership development program in which younger workers were assigned an executive sponsor to groom us for leadership in the company. When the other manager who was involved in the bet read this, he came to my manager laughing. "You can't touch this kid because he's part of the special leadership program," he said. "You might as well pay me now." "I have one more trick up my sleeve and I'm going to pull it tonight," my manager retorted. "Put your hands back in your pocket. I'm not paying up yet." My friend on the second shift heard this conversation too and shared it with me. My friend was a committed Christian, a minister at the Church of God in Christ. He and I talked religion all the time. "I don't know what's going to happen tonight," he said, "but you're going to have to be strong." That night, my boss came to me and said, "I want you to report to work this Friday night." He knew that I didn't work Friday night. I was on third shift, and I worked six nights a week. But he had found out that I was a Seventh-day Adventist and this became his weapon of choice to use against me. "I can't do that," I said. My previous boss agreed that I could have Sabbaths off. Those were the terms under which I took this assignment. "You didn't make that deal with me. You made it with somebody else," my manager said. "That deal doesn't transfer to me. I want you here this Friday night." "I can't do that," I repeated. "I have a religious obligation." "Either you show up or I will start a disciplinary action against you," my boss threatened. I immediately went to Human Resources to report the problem, explaining that it was my religious right to observe the Sabbath. "We will look for another place in the company where the Sabbath won't be an issue," the HR staff told me. "Can't you say something to my boss about this Friday night?" I asked. "No," they replied, "because your department operates around the clock. We require your boss to work 7 days a week. How can we ask him to do a job and tell him he can't use the tools in his toolkit?" "But what if this guy fires me before you find another position?" I protested. "Mr. Dent," they said, "that's the process you will have to endure. If that happens, we will not be out of order, because we will have been in the process of trying to accommodate you." That really took the winds out of my sails. I thought of the text in Revelation about the patience of the saints. I knew the Bible says that he who endures to the end will be saved, Matthew 24:13. I determined to remain faithful as I endured this trial. That night, the Lord and I had a heart-to-heart talk. "Lord," I said, "you know I am not enjoying this assignment. I have been praying about it every day for more than a year, and at my lowest point, you have allowed this totally unrelated issue to become another burden for me. And the ironic thing is that this problem has come up because I'm trying to be faithful to you." I was very upset with the Lord that night, but the Lord, just as he had for the past year and a half, said absolutely nothing. I called my father, who has always been a spiritual rock for me, and told him what was going on. "Hey, listen, son, don't worry about that," my father said. "It's already worked out." "What do you mean, Dad?" I asked. "Well, when you chose your field and your industry, your mother and I knew that the Sabbath would come up. We prayed about it years ago, and the Lord told us it would be okay. So have a happy Sabbath." That Friday night, I didn't go to work. On Sabbath, we had some friends over for lunch after church. During the meal, I got a call from my boss. I had been doing pretty well after my conversation with my father, but when my boss called, I got nervous again. I thought he was calling to tell me he was going to fire me. Sitting there in my new home, looking at my two small sons, and at all the things I would lose if this man pushed that button, my heart grew heavy. But my manager didn't mention anything about firing me. The first thing he said was, "I need extra help tonight. I need you to come in early." "How early do you need me?" I asked. Normally I went in around 10 p.m. "As early as you can get in here," he said. "Well, let me see what time sunset is," I replied. He didn't react, so I checked my sunset table. It was winter time, so the sun set early, around 5. So I told him that I could be on the job by 6. "Okay," he said. His voice was the most pleasant I had ever heard in my whole time knowing him, which really threw me off. As he was about to hang up, I said, "Wait a minute. Do we have an issue about last night because I didn't come to work?" "You know, a very strange thing happened last night," he said slowly. "Our main computer center went down. The center that processes all the orders from dealers. It is not sending any orders to any plant throughout the Midwest. every single plant is idled. I wouldn't have a case to try to discipline a guy for not coming in when we had to send everybody home. I started to get goosebumps. At what time did this happen? I asked. About five, he said. Looking at my sunset table, I thought, wow, this is amazing. The Lord idled all the operations throughout the Midwest for this big three auto company right at sunset? Are you up and running now, I asked, or am I going to get there and have nothing to do? No, we're not up and running, he exclaimed. Nobody knows what happened. All our greatest IT minds have never seen anything like this. They're just poking around, trying to fix it. Then why are you bringing us in? The company is losing $25,000 to $30,000 a minute for every vehicle line that's not running. Our losses are so great that the company has said that every shift must stand fully manned and ready so that when the system comes back up, we can go into overdrive. I assured my boss that I would be there at 6 Saturday night. When I arrived at work, the line was running. My friend from second shift, who knew the trouble my boss had given me about the Sabbath, came up to me. What time did the line get going? I asked him. About 5, he said. Wow, I exclaimed. We went down at 5 on Friday night and we came back at 5 on Saturday night. That's basically sunset to sunset. My minister friend, who would never deny that Saturday is the Sabbath, even though he maintained a different tradition, started laughing. It looks like we've been idled for the Sabbath, he said. When I shared this with my father, he also laughed and said, looks like the Lord made your whole company keep the Sabbath. I had survived the initial challenge, but I figured my boss was going to do the same thing again the next Friday night. Instead, I was shocked when he came to me and apologized. I am convinced that the Holy Spirit visited him because he was a completely different individual. Before, he had always been gruff, disrespectful, almost insulting, but now he was kind and respectful. He told me that in order to avoid looking like he was treating me differently than the other employees, he was going to begin offering my shift Saturday overtime pay, the highest hourly wage we could receive. As long as other people are willing to take that shift, and we both knew someone would always be willing to take it, then I won't require you to come in. I know HR is trying to transfer you, and this will give them enough time to work something out. When human resources came through, the transfer was even better than I could have imagined. I ended up getting a wonderful industrial engineering job in an all-new facility that would be building an all-new vehicle. The entire process had to be set up from scratch, from designing the way the job would be done to designing how the stations would be laid out. It is the stuff that industrial engineers' dreams are made of. The company was sending its best and finest to the new plant, and partly because of my Sabbath issue, I was one of those chosen. What's more, the CEO of the company said that no employee could leave this facility for 2 years after the launch of the new vehicle. When I landed in that new spot, the Lord spoke to me and said, you know that prayer you've been praying for a year and a half? I've been working on it all along, and your boss was just the tool in my toolkit. What amazes me is that there was probably only one single path for me out of that situation that would enable my prayer to be answered, and the Lord put all the right pieces in place. My experience became a witness and a testimony, not only to the people in my plant, but also to the people in HR who worked this out. However, The Lord wasn't finished with his plan. While I was at the new plant, I ran into one of my colleagues in the management development program, whom I hadn't seen in a couple of years. He told me that he had been solicited to work at an automotive supplier. The job was too technical for me, he said, but it sounded like something you might enjoy, so I referred you to the company. It may have seemed like a chance occurrence, but I think it was a divine appointment. That automotive supplier ended up hiring me, and the automotive company where I had previously worked became my customer. Because I knew the automaker so well, my career began to grow at an unprecedented rate in the second company. Because of my leadership role and my success in my new company, people began inquiring, "Why are you so blessed?" I responded by saying, "Let's get a Bible study group together at lunchtime and we'll start studying what it means to be blessed." That led to people accepting the Sabbath and all kinds of other witnessing opportunities. Sometimes, when we think the Lord is just working out our immediate situation, what he is really doing is working out a much longer range plan for his purposes. I just wanted another job. I just wanted relief from my boss, but the Lord said, "I want so much more than that. I am going to accomplish my purposes. And oh, by the way, I'm going to meet your immediate request, but I'm going to do it in my own way and in my own time." A reflection associated with this story comes from the book Education, page 253. Faith is trusting God, believing that he loves us and knows best what is for our good. Thus, instead of our own, it leads us to choose his way. In place of our ignorance, it accepts his wisdom. In place of our weakness, his strength. In place of our sinfulness, his righteousness. Our lives, ourselves, are already his. Faith acknowledges his ownership and accepts its blessing. Truth, uprightness, purity have been pointed out as secrets of life's success. It is faith that puts us in possession of these principles. God's long-range plan was written by Brandon Dent, a retired executive from General Motors who now works with a finance firm as Vice President for Wealth Management. His greatest passion is spreading the gospel.
You've been listening to the book reading program by 3ABN Australia Radio, featuring Get Ready for a Miracle. For more information about this book, visit remnantpublications.com.
You've been listening to a production of 3ABN Australia Radio.